I first want to respond to a few conversations I've had with people over the past few weeks and months regarding dating in the modern Western world. A couple of guys messaged me to tell me that they are seeing several different girls at the same time, and these girls are aware that they're seeing several different girls at the same time, and they're okay with it. And these guys were telling me this, presumably, to try and prove that the dating scene for men in the West isn't as bad as I've been making it out to be. Well, first of all, it depends on what you're describing. When you say you're seeing several different girls at the same time, are these girls exclusive to you? Is it you who gets to see the various different girls, but they are not seeing any other guys? Because that's extremely unusual. That's like pimp level shit. But if you're talking about just having a bunch of links, that's standard. Everyone's got a bunch of links. If you are anywhere close to being an alpha male, a guy that has something going for you, which is a minority, but still, there are plenty of guys out there like that. Links are standard. Everyone's got links. That's nothing unusual or new or, you know, everyone's got links. The question you have to ask yourself is, what kind of woman, because those links, right, those girls who you're seeing, multiple girls at the same time, they're seeing other guys. So to you, that girl's a link, someone you can call up, smash whenever you feel the urge. You are the same to her. You're someone that she can call up to smash whenever she feels the urge. She's also seeing other guys. So the question you have to ask yourself is, what kind of girl, what kind of woman would be seeing more than one guy, would be seeing multiple guys at the same time? What kind of woman is that? What is this? How low quality the women are in the modern world, that this type of shit, women seeing multiple guys at the same time, is something that people accept, or something that people don't even think about. So you guys who have got all these multiple links, right? I've been in that same position many times, right? Loads of links and stuff like that. But do you think about the quality of these links? The fact that she's linking a bunch of other guys too? It's a mess. This is savagery. And this is one of the reasons that I always laugh when people call themselves progressive. There's nothing progressive about the quote-unquote progressives. They are regressive. They're trying to regress human society back to a state of savagery. That's not progress, that's regress. So having links is a standard thing. That's nothing, you know, but most guys, the majority of guys, don't have links. Maybe 10% of guys have links, 15% of guys. The rest of them, the other 85%, they ain't got no fucking links. They're cold turkey, they're incels a lot of the time, or they get hold of a girl who they do manage to have a relationship with, and they hold on to her for dear life, because they don't want to be single again, because they were going months and sometimes years without sex. That's the majority of guys in the modern Western world under a certain age. That's what it's like for them. Either they're getting no sex at all, or they've settled for some girl who they don't really like, but they don't feel like they can do any better, and they're terrified of being single again. That's what it is. And in more cases than not, the girl's actually below them in the looks department. And I'm speaking specifically to the black community in places like London. In other communities, I don't know if the dynamic is slightly different, but a black community, that's how it is. So that's the first thing I'll address with regards to dating in the modern Western world. Think about the quality of these women. Yeah, you're having a great time linking lots of different girls at the same time. Okay, what if you want to take someone seriously? That girl's also seeing multiple guys. What kind of person is that? What kind of woman is that? Is that someone you want to have kids with? Is that someone you shouldn't, I shouldn't have to tell you that that's not someone you should be wifing. I shouldn't have to tell, you should know that. Yeah? The girl seeing multiple guys at the same time. I mean, good God. So that is not the same, what you're talking about, as polygyny. Polygamy is where it's basically an open relationship, right? Where both the man and the woman can see different people at the same time. Polygyny is where the man can marry multiple women, but the woman is exclusive, but those women are exclusive to him. That's polygyny. So if you somehow have got it patterned whereby you've got a polygynous situation where you're seeing three or four, five girls, but they're all exclusive to you, hey, I got to spud you. You are pimping on a grandmaster level. That's what you're doing if that's your situation. But that is very rare in the West. That's the kind of thing you only see in the third world for the most part, or with really, really rich guys in the West, multi-millionaires. So anyway, moving on to the next topic, and this is just going to be a very brief episode because hopefully you guys are enjoying the feature length episode I did about the cosmic egg theory. I uploaded it to Mediafire for you to download, and also on Odyssey if you want to watch it there. So anyway, Next thing I want to talk about is a question I got regarding gentrification. There was a guy who messaged me recently who's a black guy from Tottenham, and he wanted my thoughts on gentrification. Well, I grew up in Brixton, as most of you know, which has become heavily gentrified over the past 20 years plus. The gentrification really started in the 1990s, but it was relatively slow. But over the past 20 years, you know, since the turn of the millennium, it's rapidly accelerated. So I know what gentrification looks like from the inside. And yeah, there's a lot of resentment about gentrification in the black community because we have lived in certain communities for decades. And all of a sudden, the rents go through the roof. All of a sudden, they're knocking down council homes. They're pricing people out of council homes and all this kind of thing. And people feel very aggrieved about that. They feel like this community that they've built is now being commandeered by people who didn't build it. And they're reaping all the benefits of the improvements that the council and the government are making to the community with regards to, doing it up and regenerating the area and stuff like that. The people who've lived there for decades don't benefit from that. They get forced out, and all these middle class people benefit from it. Now, I spoke to a guy years ago. I'm not sure if he's still on Patreon here, but there was a guy called Tom who followed my YouTube channel. He was in my Facebook group. He was here on Patreon for a while. And the first time I talked about gentrification in Brixton, he said that his grandmother, Tom is a white guy, and his grandmother, I think, grew up in Bethnal Green in East London. And he said he remembers having conversations with his grandmother, and she was expressing how sad she felt about the fact that the Bethnal Green she grew up in as a little girl, you know, white working class, tight-knit community, had disappeared. Because if you know anything about London, Bethnal Green is now an Asian area. I mean, there's barely any white people there at all. It is Bengalis and various other groups from the Indian subcontinent. And so his grandmother was like sad to see the Bethnal Green that she knew, that she had such fond memories of, completely disappear. So it works both ways. We think about gentrification often in the black community as something that is imposed upon us, but we, the mass influx of black people into the United Kingdom, we were imposed upon the indigenous working class population. I'm sure, you know, when prior to Windrush, Brixton was a white working class area. But from Windrush on, we all started flooding into Brixton and we completely changed the demographics of the place. I'm sure a lot of those white working class, but they didn't like it. Do you know what I mean? They didn't like it. And I can't blame them for not liking it. So yeah, as much as we complain about gentrification and this and that, we displaced a bunch of people. Not that we came in and invaded or anything like that. We were invited by the British government and we were sent to these white working class areas by the British government, places like Brixton. So ultimately, there are social engineers at the top of society who have orchestrated all this. But on a ground level, from the perspective of the indigenous white population, it's perfectly understandable that they wouldn't like all of us lot flooding into their communities, taking, you know, council housing and stuff like that. So it works both ways. And now, of course, it isn't working class white people that are displacing black people in places like Brixton. It's middle class white people who are displacing black people in places like Brixton and Hackney and whatever. So again, it works both ways. These things run in cycles. But that's the racial component, right? Black replacing white, and then white decades later coming back to replace black. That's the racial component. But then there's also the class component. So you could look at it as Brixton has been a working class area, whether it was white or black, it was working class for the longest time, but now it's being gentrified and all of the black and white working class people have been displaced and replaced with middle class people, mainly white middle class people. So there's the racial demographic and then there's the class demographic. So I guess they're two slightly different things, but my take on it is this. The only way you are not going to be displaced if you move into one of these areas as a people, as a community, as an ethnicity, a race, whatever, over time, the only way you're not going to be displaced if you live in an area which is relatively close to the center of the city, right, which is the case with Brixton. Brixton is in zone 2. If you know about London, London has different travel zones. Zone 1 is in the middle, then the next ring out is zone 2, zone 3, and so on. And so in most cities, it's not always the case. There are exceptions in America, for example, like Detroit. But in most cities, the closer you are to the center, the more affluent it is, the more expensive it is. So as a city grows and expands, areas which used to be close to the edge of the city are now in the middle of the city. Do you know what I mean? And again, such is the case with Brixton. So, because Brixton used to be on the border of Surrey, if you go back far enough, but now it's really in deep inside London. So if you don't want to be displaced, your community is going to have to practice group economics. And this is something that Black people just cannot grasp. And when I say Black people, I'm talking specifically about the Black diaspora in places like Britain, the United States. Black people just cannot get to grips with group economics. Black people are too competitive with each other and too envious of each other on the whole to practice group economics. Just basic things. You know, if you go into an Asian shop, a shop that's run by Bengalis or Pakistanis or Indians or whoever. Right, Indians don't really run shops anymore. They've moved up the socioeconomic ladder. But, you know, many of the other people from the Indian subcontinent, they still run shops. These people treat their people much better than Blacks treat each other. I stopped going to Caribbean takeaways many, many years ago. And you guys know why. Why the fuck am I going in and spending money in a place where the people don't even have basic customer service? And everyone laughs at this and accepts it with regards to Caribbean takeaways, right? That they're rude and, you know, it's like, are you having a fucking laugh? I'm coming in here spending money and you're screw facing and you're kissing teeth and you're not attentive. And it's like, get the fuck out of here. I've got too much self-respect to spend my money in these places. Fuck you. Yeah? Black people need to fix the fuck up when it comes to how they run their businesses. Yeah? Be nice to your customers, especially if your customers are Black, because that's how you get your people to support you. Fuck's sake. Group economics. This is what the Asians practice. This is what white people practice. And they might not even practice it consciously. It's ingrained into their culture. But in the Black community, oh no, everyone's got a fucking screw face. Everyone's rude. Everyone's trying to get a leg up over the other person. And as long as that attitude continues, then Black people are virtually powerless against gentrification, because unless you're practicing group economics, you're not leveling up enough to be able to withstand the rent increases. In fact, you're not leveling up enough to be able to own the community, the bricks and mortar. If you own the bricks and mortar, then nobody can push you out. Obviously, council tax can go up and all that kind of thing, but you know, that shouldn't be that much of an issue if you've leveled up sufficiently. So there's no ideal solutions here with regards to gentrification. What do you think? You're going to go to the government and they're going to stop gentrification? Give it a rest. That's not going to happen. You have to be realistic. And with regards to practicing group economics, maybe that's not even realistic, but other races managed to do it. The Asians managed to do it. The Jews managed to do it. And one thing I have to say is Somalis have managed to do it. Somalis practice group economics. But the rest of the Black community, they don't fucking do that shit to any great extent. Too envious of each other. Too competitive with one another. So that is what that is. That's my take on gentrification. Take care of you and yours. Level up. And if you level up enough, nobody can force you out of anywhere. But you won't be able to necessarily bring other Black people with you to keep hold of certain neighborhoods. Yeah? And at the end of the day, yes, those of us who lived in Britain, or I'm sure some of you still live in Britain, most of you still live in Britain, we paid taxes for however many decades. And that does give us, by rights, a stake in the country if you've paid taxes for a long enough time. So you are entitled to certain things since the government's taking all this money off you. Be that as it may, we are not natives of Britain, unless some people want to argue about prehistoric Britain, where some people will say there was Black people back then, but you know, that's a very, very long time ago. If Black people were really in Britain in big numbers, that's a whole different epoch or whatever. For all intents and purposes, we are not natives. So I think it's naive to look at any situation and think that you're going to be treated like a native. Now, many of you will know that I am a nativist, meaning I support the rights of natives in every country, in every continent. I think that natives should have control over their land, over their resources, and so on. And that includes the natives of Europe. The natives of Europe should be able to decide, and I'm talking about the general population, whether they want immigration or not. They should be able to decide whether their land and their resources get sold off to foreigners or not, etc., etc. Okay, so I'm a nativist. Same goes for Africa. I believe that the, in fact, let me rewind a second because I kind of made a mistake there. Made it sound like something it's not. I believe that natives should have exclusive ownership of their land and resources. All right? The natives of Europe, the natives of Africa, the natives of the Americas. Oh yeah, the natives of the Americas, the so-called Plains Indians in North America. I believe they should have exclusive ownership of the land, exclusive ownership of the resources, and be the only ones who are allowed to govern the country. For better or for worse, I believe in every race, every people being in control of their destiny, whatever that destiny may be. The destiny of some races might be to crash and burn. The destiny of other races may be to become tremendously successful. Whatever the destiny is, I believe in every race, every people being allowed to follow and fulfill their destiny, not having other races and other groups of people invading them. I'm totally against imperialism, invading them and messing with their politics and all that kind of thing. No, I think that every race, so you got the whites in Europe, the blacks in Africa, the indigenous races in the Americas, the Orientals in the Far East, the Indian races, I say plural because, you know, it's the Indian subcontinent, but you've also got many different countries around there. I believe all of those different races in all over the globe should be the ones completely owning all the land. No foreign corporation should be allowed to own anything there. Completely owning all the resources. See, this is my ideology. So I'm a nativist. I'm going to see things from the natives' perspective, even if it's European natives, because Europe, of course, has been this imperialist force for the past few centuries. Be that as it may, the working class people in London, the white working class indigenous population in London, in Birmingham, in Manchester, and so on, they don't really have any control over what their governments have been doing overseas, or they don't have much control. Certainly not in centuries gone by when they were all working in factories and doing menial jobs or working in industry. They don't even have time to engage in politics and all that kind of thing. Do you know what I mean? Working down coal mines for fucking 12 hours a day. What can that man do to stop his government going overseas and conquering African? He can't do fuck all. Do you know what I mean? So I try and see things from the perspective of natives. Obviously, the same goes for Africa. South Africa. You had all these people, you know, right-wing people throughout Europe and the United States saying, oh, it's terrible in South Africa. They're killing white people. They're kicking them off their land. This is terrible. You know, the same thing they said about Mugabe. That's black land. You know, South Africa was commandeered by Europeans and pillaged for its resources. And it still is being. The natives were completely disenfranchised, brutalized, killed, marginalized. They were made second-class citizens in their own country under the apartheid system. So obviously I'm in favor of them getting their land back and them getting their resources back. And the governments of the West, the European government, especially the Dutch and the English, they should be working with, and apparently there were agreements to this end, working with the South African government to help resettle these people. That's what they should be doing. Britain's got enough fucking money. Holland's got enough money. So, because I mentioned those two countries, because obviously most white people in South Africa are descended from the English or the Dutch. So, yeah, that's what should be going on. I am a nativist. I'm not saying that the white people should be kicked out of South Africa. That's up to, you know, the black South Africans to decide. And by the way, and this is another thing which always made me laugh, black South Africans mostly target other black people when it comes to, you know, shutting down their businesses and violent attacks. They mostly target black people from other African countries like Nigerians, Ugandans, and so on. When those business owners, Nigerian business owners, get kicked out and killed and all this kind of stuff, all of these right-wing, conservative white people in the West, they don't say anything. They don't care. But when they see it happening to white people, oh, this is shocking. This is terrible. So are you having a fucking laugh? So we can see what your mindset is. Huh? You only care about foreigners being targeted if they're white foreigners. You don't give a shit about black foreigners being targeted because that's the majority of foreigners that get targeted in South Africa. Black foreigners. They call it xenophobia, right? Xenophobic attacks. It's mostly attacks on other black people from other parts of, because the black South Africans see Nigerians in particular Let me put it this way. Nigerians are moneymakers. Everyone knows that. Everywhere Nigerians go in the world and in Africa, they're there to make money, legally or illegally. But they know how to do it. They're good at it. And so when they land in South Africa, these Nigerians, who are typically taller than South Africans, right? Taller, more muscular than native black South Africans. And they're spending money and they're taking the women. What do you think is going to happen? These Nigerians are getting targeted by South African men who are like, fuck that. We're going to burn your business down. We're going to get you the fuck up out of here. In fact, we're going to burn you alive, depending on how much the Nigerians are flexing, right? So that goes on in South Africa. But anyway, natives are going to do what natives do. It's ugly. I'm not saying I support any form of violence to that end. But ultimately, I do believe in the natives, the indigenous population of any country, any continent, being the masters of their own destiny. Owning all the land, every centimeter of their land should be owned by the natives. All the resources, all the minerals, the oil, if they have any, and so on, should be owned by the natives. Should be in native hands. That's my belief. Anyway, I'll leave it there.